Cap Figure Podcast, episode 36. Today's episode is going to be about sports touters. And we'll begin. I'm going to play a call. Tom and I, with Tom's help, called VIP Sports, which is the most, one of the most horrible scam. They're all scams, but they had a TV show on CNBC with Steve Stevenson, who we'll hear from later. Total ripoff, keep in mind, selling picks. And I called them and asked their advice. Listen, Tom, we'll be back. Hello? Hi. I was speaking to somebody over there, I don't know, maybe a month ago earlier in the playoffs, and I just was, you know, I'm thinking of making a bet for the Super Bowl. And like I told the woman before, I know you wouldn't, like, go up to Wayne Gretzky and ask how to take a slap shot before the Stanley Cup, but, like, I was wondering how much a Super Bowl pick might cost.
But we charge $500 for the Super Bowl.
$500?
Yeah. Goddamn total.
Okay, and how does it work? Do I pay you up front?
Yeah, you pay us up front, and what we're doing right now, if you wait till the day of the Super Bowl, it probably costs $1,000 for the side in total, but right now, before the Super Bowl, you pay $500 for the side in total. Also, what we're doing, we ask you this, where you betting your games at?
Where? Through a bookie in New York.
Okay, basically what you can do is, you know, what we're doing, you pick up the Super Bowl side in total for $500. We'll give you the rest of the basketball starting from today through Sunday, college and pro, just to get you a bankroll built up for the Super Bowl.
No, really?
Yeah.
So then you're so like with the $500, you'll give me picks. Yeah, that sounds awesome. So like I could be winning bets before I bet on the Super Bowl.
Right. Here's the thing: we got a game on the board tonight that we got information on. Absolute blowout in college basketball. Game's going to cover spread by no less than, you know, 20 points. Major error with the line on this game. We work with you from now through the Super Bowl, basketball, college and pro, and like I said, you get the Super Bowl side in total. We got a game tonight, knock your damn socks off. How much you bet in the game anyway?
Oh, you know, $5 or $10.
$5 or $10?
Yeah, I'm not that big time.
Oh, okay.
But if I could get my bankroll up before the Super Bowl, maybe it'd be worth me paying $500 for the pick, you know?
It will be well worth it. Well worth it. Just don't bet your game. Just bet the games I give you between now and the Super Bowl countdown, and I guarantee you'll be ready to fire in the Super Bowl.
Well, but let me think. So if I bet a game every day, 10, 20, maybe I'll...
One or two plays a day, because Saturday is a big slate on Saturday.
Okay. So you think it's doable?
Yeah, just one or two plays a day. But tonight we just got one big game on the board tonight that we have information on, you know, absolute blowout winner. And like I said, this particular game will cover the spread by no less than 20 points.
See, the problem is I'm not that good at math. If I win, you're telling me that it'll make up for it? Like, if I start with a $10 bet in your picks, that it'll be worth $500? I believe
If you bet, I'll put it to you like this. If you bet $10 a game, you can do that on your own. I mean, that's extremely small. You bet $5 or $10 a game. I mean, you know, you got to at least be in the bet at least a couple of hundred.
Oh, my God. No, my wife would never have that. Goodbye. Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. $500, episode 36. Get your picks. Cap Figure Podcast, episode 36.
I don't have on my kicks.
Woo! So he says, $500. How much is a Super Bowl pick? $500. What do you think of the call, Tom? That Tom's line was the Gretzky, like, look, I know I'm coming at the altar of Jesus here right before the Super Bowl, but I was just wondering if you would be so kind as to grace me with the horrible gamble.
I mean, it's he didn't honestly do a good job even selling.
No, because the first time I'm like, how much is it? He's like, $500, silence. And then I have to ask him, well, how does it work? Like, you know, I'm playing naive, and he's just like, well, it'll be $1,000 in a week. But this is given the context of... This place that I just called, I tried to call other sports touters, but this is VIP Sports, which there was a reality TV show about the manager, Steve Stevenson. Here's a clip to give a sense of what he's like.
Las Vegas is capital of telemarketing. I'm going to have made you more money than you ever fucking imagined. Yeah, you understand? Talk to me, man.
Sports service industry been around for fucking 25, 30 years.
Bobby Knee's going to hand walk you through this.
When you buy a stock tip, what are you buying? If you put stock on the motherfucking LA Lakers,
name is Steve.
You know the five Steven. Players that you got stock on. You can watch the motherfucking game that night and get paid right at the motherfucking cage. Why the fuck would you play the stock market?
Answer that, Tom. Why would you? You're a stock guy.
I was actually thinking about this, and that is a good way for him to kind of push the envelope. But the reality is, instead of investing in a company that is a 50-50 proposition at best, and every time you bet on that, you're...
You mean the sports is?
No, I'm talking about sports.
Yeah.
And every time you bet, you're giving away 10 to 15% of each bet.
But listen,
front.
I'm on the money page. What page are you on?
I wipe my ass with $100 bills.
I'm all about the money. I don't give a fuck about the game. As long as I got the winner, that's all that matters.
How are you going to argue with
this? Can you hear me now?
I give a fuck big time. I take pride in winning. I'm absolutely fucking trying to make the money nonstop. If they don't get paid, I don't get fucking paid.
If Michael Jordan called you
that's
and was willing
true,
to help
though.
You shoot a jump shot, would you let him?
Tom, I was looking, Tom, while Steve Stevenson was talking, like with my arms in the air, like, reply to that. I mean, what do you have to say to that?
There's not much you can say.
Let's just back up very basically, just to be very clear, because we haven't. I don't know if I gave the. This is a company that they sell sports picks. Obviously, as you could tell by my phone call, right? They say this game we have a pick against the spread, and we're gonna sell you the pick. But Steve Stevenson does it. When I was on the phone, the guy was telling me 500, regardless of if I bet $5 or $10. But Steve Stevenson just free rolls because he, his system on the which was on the reality show Money Talks was just I don't get paid unless my clients get paid. Meaning if they lose, he doesn't collect any percentage, and if they win, he expects them to give him half.
So yeah, just to walk you through a very basic scenario, you want to bet on the Super Bowl this weekend, and you will put down $100 on either the Falcons, the Patriots, or one of any number of other bets. Almost all of them are essentially 50-50 propositions.
Right.
Now, if you win, you obviously get $100 for that $100. We're not considering the casino's cut. And if you lose, obviously, you lose all your money. So what this service is basically saying is they're going to tell you which team to bet on, and when you win, they're going to take half of whatever you win.
So it's there, obviously, to Tom and I, if you think about it, at very first glance, if you're as smart as like a pebble, you'll be like, oh, well, if they only get paid when I get paid, but you're flipping a coin and then you have to pay half of your winnings when you eventually win. They're 50-50. An idiot will win 50% of the time.
Right. And they're basically saying that they have inside information that provides some value to you as an investor.
Well, now we'll get to why it's so funny, right? Now that you know the very basics. Well, one, this is an extreme example. Today's episode is going to be about like the sports touting industry, which is what this is called or whatever. Because yesterday I got a text and it said like three wise men, parlay, and it was parlay was spelled wrong, and it was like, if we don't go 3-0, we don't get paid or some crap. And I texted it to Tom, and he was like, yo, call one of them and scam them, like troll them a little. And so we were like, yo, we got to talk about this. It's too ridiculous. I get calls from them regularly. But yes, it's so ridiculous, obviously, because they say they're selling that they have inside information. This guy told me on the phone today, 20 points. They're going to beat the spread by 20 points guaranteed.
That's absolutely absurd, and especially for college basketball where, you know, when you look at a majority of games, teams don't score more than 55 points. Yeah. He's basically he is guaranteeing that one team will score literally 20% of what they normally do. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
It's amazing. And in one of the episodes, it was like maybe one season, the show following Steve Stevenson. His name is not really Steve Stevenson.
No, it's Steve Stevens.
Oh, Steve Stevens.
Well, he switched it.
I'm calling him Steve Stevenson. Steve Stevens. He's a convicted con artist from running a Florida telemarketing room. And then now in some of these videos, he's like, man, I live the clean life. Today, I don't do none of that. I'm not waking up with a bottle of vodka. And he's like clearly on coke. And he's like, man, when I was doing that telemarketing, that was just a scam. And like he's talking as if he runs a real business now. He literally just runs a phone room. Well, I mean, I don't want to be redundant with these points, but it's retarded. It's so what's amazing, though, is that I guess that people fall for it, or I guess that, you know, one of my coworkers or one of my bosses, his name is Louis, I bet with him and stuff. You know, I guess, so here's my path to why these businesses can still exist. Aside from the, you get people once or twice, right? Like a straight up scam, you can do one round of scams and then it's over. But this, like he said in one of the clips, has been around for a while. I think because people still think that sports betting is beatable. And it, I guess it is, that can be true, but never if you're paying. Like it's only beatable where you can win 59% of the time, right?
Yeah.
And that's barely enough to get over the VIG. It's not beatable to the extent where you 75%, which is what they're asking if you give up half your winnings.
No, absolutely. And
like, how do you think it's still up? Like, you think it's just straight up pressuring and scamming, or you think people are genuinely naive?
I think it's a combination of two things. I think that this is a lot of psychology involved, but I think that the obvious thing is that they prey on the insecurity of people. And I would say that the majority of people, right, when they're reaching out for advice on sports betting, it means that at somewhere in their life, they're like trying to fill some sort of like maybe void.
You mean because they're betting there probably, or
I would say there's just a good chance that you're going to get those kind of people.
Yes, yeah. Like people who are not happy in general.
Right. They're trying to, you know, get rich quick or like you know, game the system.
Yes, now, yes. It's more likely that your life is not going great if you're calling sports touters.
I think that that's one part of it. And then I think, you know, they obviously like they pressure you and,
well,
you know, they
one.
Get you like excited, like you're doing something like really edgy and you know, I think that's what a lot of, like, even very
like
reputable...
Oh, like anti-establishment, like, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a lot of very reputable businesses do that as well. It's just in the context of what their actual business is that it looks so terrible. I'm not justifying it.
Wait, what do you mean?
I mean...
Like, they do what? Say, like, we're outside the box?
Yeah, to a certain extent. Like, they're saying, like, you know, oh, we're, like, we're smarter. Like, I'm the bookie killer.
Well,
like,
that's the only way you can... explain. That's the only way you can, on one hand, say we will win you thousands and you got to do nothing but pay me some of it on one hand, and then on the other hand it's like, wait, but why isn't everybody doing this? The only way to fill that gap is to be like, well, you know, society doesn't believe in us, or like,
exactly,
we're outside the box, nobody's thought of this.
Yep.
Or it's brand new or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, whatever.
He has something that everybody else doesn't have.
Right. And then when that reality show came out, I remember all these, like, a bunch of, like, the legitimate books were like, nobody's ever heard of this guy. We don't know who he is.
No, because, I mean, this is kind of getting a little bit ahead, but the reality is if this guy had any inside information on any of these games, he would not be giving you this information. He would be taking his own money and putting a lot of it on those games in a legitimate way.
Yeah, well... He said, he goes, you know, I'll make 50 a week, man, and then I'll turn around and spend 25 of it so I can make another 50 the next week. I thought that meant drugs because he's clearly addicted to uppers, but I think he means he's losing half of his money gambling on his own every week.
No, I think that's what it is. I mean, you see in that show, too, like the lifestyle he's living is absolutely absurd.
It's amazing. He's with his baby moms, like his baby moms and his baby. And he comes home with, like, a Rolex, and he's like, yeah, I haven't been home in, like, 6 days. And
yeah,
he lives
exactly.
In Vegas. And he's like, I figured I'd stop home for breakfast. And, like, he hadn't slept. And he gives her a watch. She's, like, this Russian blonde fake bot. He's so fun. I love Steve Stevens, man. Yo, please, Steve, if you hear this, just all you got to do, don't get mad. Let us be consultants to you. All you got to do is give us half. If you don't make money off our consulting, you don't have to give us any. But if your business improves and you make money based on our advice, just give us half.
Yeah, I have some experience, you know, marketing a couple websites. You have some experience in betting and podcasts. So, you know, we have a lot to offer you, Steve.
Right now, Serena Williams is offering you tennis advice and you're a chick. Are you going to turn that down?
No.
Right? Also, do you want to be a loser for the rest of your life? That's the other sales tactic. He posts these videos on YouTube I was watching before. And they have like 1,000, 2,000 views. And they're guides. But all of them, it's so funny that I thought it would be a whole series. Like, I was looking for his deeper betting analysis. But the only ones he posted are under the subtitle, Sports Betting 101. There's no 202 or it just all. He has five videos, Sports Betting 101 with Steve Stevens, and then that's it.
He
and
just explains to you the process.
Literally, he just explains facts. Well, like, when you go in a sports book, you're going to get really excited, and then you're going to go up, ask for a sheet, and place your bet. Those are the videos.
The other thing that he likes to do, too, when he starts getting questioned on his actual, like, what is your actual strategy, right? Because that's the same thing I would ask any hedge fund manager on Wall Street that I'm investing money in. You know, what are you actually going to do, or what is the value you bring to your client that will make them money?
Let me answer as Steve Stevens. That's a hard question to answer, Tom, because, you know, look, I see you. You're a good-looking guy, right? You're smart, so you should understand this, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't want to be a loser. You want to understand this, right? So I would say that it's different from game to game. You know, one game I could see and say, like, oh, that guy's nose is too big. It's going to hurt him this game. The other guy – so I can't answer – what I look for are the facts, Tom. You know what I mean? And I'm the type of guy – and I could tell you are too, as I drop the mic, because I'm Steve Stevens, a cokehead, is that I look for the facts. And the facts aren't always the same. So if somebody on Wall Street and a hedge fund wants to tell you that they know the facts in the future, they're lying, bro.
Yeah. And
is that what you think he would say?
Well, then he also, the other thing that he'll do is he'll say, look, nobody can pick small school college football better than me. And it's always just in line with whatever season it is. So like during baseball season, the baseball playoffs, like the guy was like, he's like, he asked the guy, like, what sport do you want to bet on or whatever? And the guy was like, oh, I want to come and watch my Dodgers play baseball or whatever. And so then Steve was like, well, as a matter of fact, you know, I am the baseball handicapper. Like, I pick the best baseball picks. And
He, you know, it's funny that, though, just the college thing, like, I think a lot of them play that angle, even though he obviously says it for every sport, and they all do. They do, it, like, it did make sense to me for half a second. A sports touter called me. I called once, by the way, for everybody listening. I called once. One time, they advertised on the radio a free pick, like, and I was like, you know what, let me just call and see if it's actually free. I call, and they're like, hey, man, what's going on? How much do you play? And I'm like, wait, what does this matter? I want my free pick. And he's like, well, so the way it works today is, like, it's a group rate. If a lot of people buy it, you buy two and you get one free. And I was like, goodbye. Ever since then, my number's in the pool of, like, touters.
Yep.
And they sell the numbers to each other and stuff. And so, anyway, the other day one called and they were like, and this was his logic. He was like, man, there are hundreds of college basketball teams. There is no way Vegas can be on top of all of them. So they got the line totally wrong, and often they do, and today is one of them. That sort of made sense to me. But
that narrative could make sense to me. There is, you know, obviously there's the part where the sports line in-house, this is at the casino.
Well, now let's talk legitimate. Now, that just before you make your point, this is the trashiest end of and lying, scamming, sports touting, and we're going to talk about, like, legitimate end. So go on.
Yeah, so, you know, this is the job of the in-house head of a sports book, let's say at, like, the Venetian or, like, Caesar's Palace. What they do is they try to come up with an estimation of where that game will end up, the exact final score, and then they work from there to create the betting lines that they think will induce the most action. And a lot of times they are very close. Now, it's just a matter of information too, right? Because casinos, the closer they can get to getting these lines as close as possible, the more money they're going to make, right? And
right.
So they employ tons of people, and not just tons of people, but they have literally like data analytics programs that will be able to crunch more numbers than any small little shop will ever be able to do. To me, the same analogy is basically if you take the Venetian's in-house sports book in terms of predicting a game, that would be like Goldman Sachs in comparison to like just, you know, an average stockbroker from like Iowa, right?
Right.
That guy might have good information on some things, but you know, Goldman Sachs in-house trading for their own profit they have a lot of resources they're using for that.
That's a really good analogy. Yeah, it's like I may get one right or know something once in a while, right? Or think I do. You know, you don't even know. It's hard to know what won what with 50-50 props. And just for those who don't understand, we were talking, you were explaining the betting, you bet 100, win 100, casino aside, how you're getting scammed. And it's even worse because casinos take 10% when you lose. And so the reason they want, just to clarify, the reason they want to get the score as close to possible of the line is because then it's actually going to be a 50-50 prop. If you play that game 100 times, the Patriots will win by 3 or more half the time, and the Falcons will win by 3 or lose by 3 or less or win half the time. And so therefore you can't really beat it, and then there's the equal number of losers and winners in the long run, and then it's just 10% on all that money.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing, there's always this narrative of, you know, sports betting versus the stock market, and fundamentally they are very similar mechanisms for what we'll call an investor or a customer, right? In the case of Wall Street, you know, you go to a trading brokerage and you say, I want to buy shares of Apple. They're going to charge you a fee to acquire those shares. And you're buying into some sort of, you know, packaged set of risk, hoping that you're going to make money in the future. So
The package look like the points in a sports bet or something?
Exactly. Okay. So instead of going to E-Trade to open an account, in the case of sports betting, the individual investor is going to the Venetian, to the sports book, and saying, I want to buy shares in the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, so they're going to charge you the 10% to acquire those shares, and then they're basically just matching, you know, your bet on the Falcons against somebody else's bet against the Patriots. So they're just creating this sort of market where they're just taking 10% of all of the money that comes in, and they're hoping that the people betting on the Falcons will offset the amount of money that's being bet on the Patriots.
Right. So but the difference is, obviously, with the stock market is that it's a zero-sum game. Every stock can go up. Every sports bet, both sides can't win.
Absolutely. So no, 100%. Yeah,
like that's the main difference. So it's funny that Steve Stevens, well, I'll stop referencing him because he's, you know, the lowest of the low. But then, like, now we transition, as I referenced, the conversation goes from that totally joke sports touting to something like what you and I have talked about, and you especially have thought about, like, ways to invest in sports
Yeah, how do I turn whatever information and beliefs I have about sports, a particular team or player in general,
into a bet?
How do I turn that into a proposition where I can profit off of whatever I think will happen actually happens?
In a legit way. Right, right.
Correct.
Not in a bet, but in a bet on the stock market. Whatever. You know, the difference is not zero sum. So is there in between? Like you said, you were reading about all these sports mutual fund type of things. Can you explain that?
Yes. So instead of going to the casino yourself to make picks, what they call entity wagering companies are showing up in the marketplace right now, and they're all based in Las Vegas or Nevada in general. And what they do, very similar to a hedge fund, is they get individual investors to put money in, they pull that money together, and then they have someone who makes decisions about where that money gets invested into or which games they play. And the theory, or, you know, the revenue or sales model behind that company making money is, they're going to provide a return to all the money that comes in, and they're going to take a percentage of the total profit that they make on all of that money that comes in from customers.
So, like, it's like you as an investor maybe pay 10% VIG on your bet. Or no, you just put the money in and get dividends, like, or something?
Well, yeah. So let's say you want to put in $100. Let's say there's 10 people that put in $100, so you have $1,000. That sports betting mutual fund will take
They're betting it all. It's going to be cashed out, the whole account.
Sure. So let's say they're betting the full $1,000 on the Patriots this weekend, and the Patriots end up winning. So the money is essentially, let's say, doubled. Now, what will happen is the entity wagering company produced a profit of $1,000 based on the advice that they gave to those investors. Right. So they're going to take a percentage of that profit. And from what I see, a lot of them are charging up to 20%, which is very high.
That is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. So they're taking 20%. So they'll take $200. And then the rest of that $800, $80 will go to each individual investor, assuming there were 10 investors at $100 each.
That stinks. I mean, that's just paying. I guess it's like, okay, so now it comes down to how beatable. Like, Google real quick, what are the best sports bettors win rate? Like, what's the best possible win rate? I believe it's like 58%, 59%. Like, professional sports bettors, the very few of them who live in Vegas and do it and are banned from sports books. I saw a 60 Minutes piece one time on this one big guy. He can't even go in the casinos. He has people working for him, and he bets so much that they know, they start to recognize his guys. So lines will move. If he sends a guy in to bet $5,000 on the Patriots at -3, he'll send a guy in to bet $5,000 on the Patriots at -3, and then they'll move it to 3.5 because he did that. So what he'll do is, say he wants to bet on the Falcons, he'll send in the guy that they know to bet $5,000 on the Patriots, have the line move, and then bet $25,000 on the Falcons.
So I'm on this website right now called Documented Handicappers, and it basically, if you're one of these guys, you put in your pick and the amount of money you believe is going to, or that you're going to bet on that game.
Oh,
and
they keep did that for a bit.
A long-term track record of this. So the best guy for all sports combined since the start of this website is 58%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. And he's won 7,250 times to 5,250 losses.
Wow.
So, but that's really what you're getting at, right? Anybody that promises you more than, let's say, 60% of the time being right, they're full of shit.
So, but this entity wagering, how that's a scam then if you're paying 20% to them. They can't possibly make up for that unless you do some other things that we'll get into, right? On an individual game that's a 50-50 prop with 10% juice, you cannot pay any percent like that to any entity unless they're by far the smartest handicapper of all time, right? But maybe with like season long bets or like series bets or something, it could potentially work. Or where can it work?
Yeah, I would say for the individual games, it just doesn't make sense unless they have some system that, but even that wouldn't make sense, right? Because let's say at the best they're 58% of the time right. I would say in order to just break even with a 20% cut rate on the profits for those entity wagering services, I think that if they got it right, let's say 56.5% of the time, I think that they might be able to make that math work where it might make sense to the individual investor.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're taking 20% of the profits, right? They're not taking 20% of all the money put in. So, you know, let's say they win 55% of the time, you take the 10% vig, then it would be about even. So the math is very
hard.
Wait,
if you're just an individual bettor, what do you need to win to overcome the VIG? 55%?
I would
say
that's
about
right.
Why can't we do this math? It has to be simple. How much? I'm Googling this. Ramble.
Yeah, so
talk about Steve Stevens' hair. No, I don't know. Ramble.
No, yeah, I think this whole industry of this, you know, sports betting mutual funds, just my advice, I would kind of try to stay away from it for a little while because to me it looks very, it looks like it's really not been thought out or developed. And until, you know, the biggest thing is transparency, right? If you're going to give anybody money, you want to have an account that shows you exactly what they're betting on. You want to see exactly the people making the decisions who give you money, or you're giving your money to. You want to be able to Google those people to make sure that their background history is clean. You want to see that they're are an expert in the field. They've been on the right sort of shows or podcasts, have done the right sort of, you know, they just get their thoughts out there and they have a public track record. And I don't think we're really at a point yet where that mutual fund idea makes sense.
No.
And the biggest thing to me, too, that is a very obvious problem with that is I don't think that they would be able to go around and shop different lines. And in that case,
why do you not think they'd be able to do that?
Because I think that what I was reading, all the funds need to be transferred electronically. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of caught on only using one portal, like that app you can download at the sports book. And so why that worries me is I could see a lot of the individual sports books just saying, you know what, we don't want to get involved in this, because if you have an investor in one of those funds and then that entity wagering goes and puts all their money at a certain sports book and anything happens, then that sports book is possibly going to get caught up in some sort of lawsuit from the first investor.
Right, right.
And, it, you know, like I said, I mean, I think there's a negative connotation a lot because of just the laws of, you know, what is sports betting versus regular betting. I mean, you could go into like the store and buy a lottery ticket, right?
Yeah.
And that's totally legal and people see it as, you know, pretty normal in New York, but you know, there's just different levels of, I guess, what's the term, like taboo around betting. I would say to just hold off and not put any money in those entity wagering places.
Yo, so it's actually less, because if you just do, it's 53%, you can overcome a 10% VIG. Because say you bet 100 bets, $100 each. It's 53 times 100 is your profit, right? That's $5,300. And then you owe 110 47 times.
I see.
And that equals 5,170. I was just Googling it, and I couldn't find, but then I just realized how simple the math was. So, yeah, 53%. So it is more doable than I think. Like 58% is a better profit than I thought. When 53% is enough to overcome the VIG, but it's just so interesting. The only other place I have this theory that sports betting is potentially beatable, and this is a different conversation. Well, all you said is true. Don't give sports touters your money ever. As soon as they ask, how much do you play for? It's a scam.
Yeah, absolutely.
But is like, so I made a bet, and I you've heard me say this a trillion times, but the people, the masses haven't. So before the playoffs started in the NFL playoffs, I was looking at the bets for the, you know, to win the Super Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons were plus 750, meaning a bet 100, win 750. For context, like the Patriots, I believe, were like plus 250 or something. And the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Packers, Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seahawks were also 750, the same as the Falcons. And the Falcons had to play one less game than them, and they ended up being favored in, which we didn't know at the time. But I think I'm getting this in a roundabout way. But so once the Falcons ended up winning their divisional game that they were favored in, that you knew ahead of time they were going to be favored because they would be hosting no matter what with the 2 seed after a bye, right? They're going to be favored in their first game. After they beat the Seahawks, their odds were plus 250 to win the Super Bowl. Even if they had to travel to Dallas, it would have been maybe plus 350, you know? But there's a gap there, I think. And I talked about this with the Mets playing the Cubs, that the Cubs were favored 2 years ago in the championship series to win the series. But the Mets were favored game one. Matt Harvey was pitching. And so as soon as the Mets won game one, as predicted, you got a way better line on the Cubs. Obviously, it should change because they have to win one less game. And maybe I'm just retarded and falling into gambler's fallacy, or I'm falling into the when a series is tied 2-2, the winner of game 5 wins 80% of the time. They fucking should. Maybe I'm falling into that, but I feel like there may be a gap there. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that there are ways to exploit the numbers to a certain extent. I think that what you're talking about is very similar to like the the options market in the stock market, where the timing of whatever bet you're making matters disproportionately to the outcome itself. So,
right.
For example, I believe Facebook shares, let's say, this is totally off base, but let's say Facebook's shares are $400 today. Now, I think Facebook is going to go over $500 by, you know, the end of this year, but depending on when during that year, the pricing could be very different. So if you're going to say, like, you know, Facebook will go over, you know, that threshold in June versus August, there can be just, you know, sort of like arbitrage opportunities based on that. And I see
wait,
that
how
as,
though? Like, explain how.
So
you mean it's like, I think I get what you're saying, that like I look at, as soon as I saw the line go from plus 750, they win one game, to plus 250, I already made a profit if I wanted to. Like, I could just hedge the rest of the way and win money. You mean like that? Like, it depends on where, like, or are you saying like a slice of time? Your prediction is it's going to go to 500 by December 31st. The odds of that outcome still happening would be different depending on the slice of time you take in the middle of that year.
Yes, and so.
But it could that odds be incorrectly, like. How much do you weigh your original prediction versus like what the new odds are, like, I guess?
Well, the reason I'm getting at that example is it's going to be tough to explain on this podcast, but what I'm getting at is there will be different events, right? So let's say your thesis is that the Falcons are going to win the Super Bowl, and your thesis is also that Facebook will be over 500 by the end of December. So what the price is right now for the Falcons, it may be very attractive because there are X number of events that happen between now and the Super Bowl, meaning they have to win four games as opposed to, say, two or three, mm-hmm. right? And so in the example of Facebook, you could think about it like, okay, I think that this is going to happen in the end, but I'm going to buy shares 2 days before their earnings call, because I think that after the earnings call, the price that I'm going to have to buy it at will be a lot more disproportionate to the actual risk of Facebook being at 500 by the end of the year.
Right. Okay. So yeah, that is what I said.
So
in much smarter words, or much stockier words. That's really, so do you think that gap exists though? Like, do you think there is an oversight? I guess just with sports betting, obviously with stocks, there is a beatable, because there's not a 10% vig in stocks. There's a flat $8 fee on Fidelity or whatever.
Sure.
And it's not a zero-sum game.
I think there are ways to exploit it. And I think that those instances, you know, we always talk about, right, like, all things equal, I'm going to bet against the Cowboys every single time. Because all of the Dallas Cowboys fans, I'm just going to assume that they're betting on the Cowboys, right? Like, let's just say that all things equal. Well, where was I going with that?
I don't know. You just hate the Cowboys. Your blind rage for Jerry Jones got to your head.
Oh no. Well, so what I was saying, what I was getting at with that is that in
my degenerate friends like live betting. They're like, wait till they go down a run and then bet on them.
I guess what I'm getting at is if a lot of people are going to put the money on the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl, and you're going to pick the Falcons in that same sort of like a future bet for the Super Bowl, because
yeah.
One team will affect the other. I think that how much that will affect it is exacerbated.
Okay, so you mean the public opinion of the lines may be too influential on the lines,
yeah.
With futures?
So a team that you think is undervalued, I think, will be undervalued more in a futures bet,
yes.
Than if you're going to bet on one particular
game. Okay, yeah, I agree. Because the casinos have to sweat. If they have it's like New York Lottery numbers, you know, the pick three. They'll stop selling a certain number if too many people buy it because they have a sweat. They don't want to have to lose. And by sweat, I mean that the casino or the lotto is screwed if that number hits because too many people have it. And they won't make up for it with the other bets.
So if a lot of people are putting money on Dallas, the casino on the line is going to become much more attractive to bet on the Cleveland Browns.
Right, all things equal. Right.
And I think that in that case, it's almost like because I think another big factor that I've always believed with a lot of sports betting that I think kind of goes under the radar with the futures bets in particular, I think a lot of people, I think there's a bias towards just picking the single games because they want to have that decision like as soon as possible. And so getting that money back.
Well, and you're a degenerate gambler usually if you're in a sports book or, you know, mostly the people sports betting are gamblers. So the more instant outcome is like, that's the definition of gambling is an instant result.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. Like here, we got to finish in a minute, but I always used to think that individual game lines were solely based on the prediction, the public's opinion of the game, because I thought that in one given game, the casino needed there to be even action on both sides. They want that, but they don't need that. They could they could have one guy betting $10,000 on every game, and as long as he goes 50-50, they're winning their 10%.
Of course.
And as long as he bets the same amount. So I only realized that this year. You know, like I totally flip-flopped. I remember having a big argument with my dad where actually we didn't talk the rest of that night. We were yelling at each other so much so because I'm such an idiot asshole that I was so opinionated. I was like, no, the public opinion only makes the lines. But with futures, because they have this sweat where it's like New York Lottery numbers where it's like, oh, my God. If the Giants, they said, for example, before the playoffs, the casinos were terrified that if the Giants went on a run and won the Super Bowl, they'd be out a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people were betting on them. So then they adjust. So anyway, so futures, I would agree, may be a spot where my point is that that's also the only time that sports betting can be exploitable is when they are not making the lines based on a prediction of the outcome. They're making the lines based on the public.
Exactly.
Because then you're not up against all the data and all the big sports books like information. You're just up against other people.
Yep.
And I guess that's like the stock market, why it's easier to win at it amongst other things.
Yeah. And when you think about the stock market, the problem with a lot of the options trades is the same thing with an option as, like, let's say basically any bet, but like a future bet where, you know, you're just stacking up more risk. So your payoff will be huge. It's like a kind of a lottery ticket. And so if a lot of people are buying, if Facebook is $100 and it's been trading between 80 and 120 for the better part of 5 years, and then a lot of people buy options for Facebook to all of a sudden go up to 200 within the next month, right? That would be a huge outlier.
Wait, an option is in a month from now, I'm reserving the right to buy this stock at this price, and reserve it now. But then how do you turn that into money when that day comes? You could sell the options?
Sure. So let's say Facebook actually does go over 200 anytime between now and then. Well, you have that contract to buy it at 200. So if Facebook goes up to 250.
Oh, you just instantly buy it and then sell it for 250.
Yeah, you just buy it at 200 and then you sell it for 250.
What about short selling? Is that options just on a lower price?
Short selling is the same thing as an option. You're just betting for it to go down. So you're reserving the right to sell it at a higher price if it goes below that price. So let's say Facebook's 100 now, and you wanna protect your, let's say, downside or whatever. If Facebook, you agree on a strike price of 80, so you're allowed to sell it at 80, regardless of what happens. If Facebook goes up, you're not gonna exercise that option. But let's say Facebook then goes down to 50.
Right.
If you buy that option from somebody, you have the right to sell to them for $80, even though it's now trading at $50.
How did you make money on it, though? I don't understand.
Well, you make money in writing the options. You make an actual fee. Or let's say, how do I explain this? If
I'll Google it, let's skip it. Forget it. Sorry, guys. I know I was just thinking as we almost end that, like, I was like, this is a baseball podcast. Sorry, guys, if you're hoping for baseball.
No, it's all good.
But so we're done. I mean, we're long. We're 45 minutes, even though this was a different type episode. Go ahead.
Well, actually,
you got time.
In that example, like I was telling you, right, you have the right to sell it for $80. Well, if Facebook then goes down to 50, you just buy a share for 50 and you sell it to that person for 80.
Oh, okay. Way to bring it home with the one sentence. That makes sense. All right. So do you have anything else? What are we doing next episode? Back to the look at?
Tweet us in.
Yeah, we just got heated about Steve Stevens before the show and decided to talk about him. So
no, I mean I want to expose the
my genitals.
I
want to
expose the dark side of the betting industry. I think it's important because, you know, there in a couple of years there's going to be a lot of very good options for you to, exactly like what we're saying, to use whatever information or beliefs you have on specific teams or players to be able to profit on that advice in a totally legitimate way.
You mean as gambling becomes more and more legal in general?
Yeah, and you know, like the creative little company I've got going on in the side, like I think that eventually that will provide people with options to actually make money on their, you know, their thoughts, their beliefs about sports in general. But you know, it's like just a life lesson, right? Like if this person is selling you something too good to be true, then it is too good to be true. So I don't know. Hopefully we can help someone who's like caught in between, like, oh my God, should I give this guy $500 for his decision on the, you know, the game Sunday? And if we can help one person do that, I think it's a positive outcome.
I was less stupid than I thought about. It's less of an edge than I thought of the 53% is the one thing I'll say. Like, all sports touters are retarded. But, and just the last thing, let's say you're betting with Steve Stevens. You bet 100 times. What rate? Let's say he hits even 55%, right? So 55 times, how much do you win when you win? 50?
50%.
No, wait, let's be generous. Let's say he wins 65. So 65 times 50 is what? 3250. Now what? 35 times 100 is 3500. You just lost money, Steve Stevens. What the hell?
So he's saying...
He's claiming he can win 66. What would it be? 66 times 50, 33. 34 times 100.
He'd have to win...
Oh, it'd be 110, actually. So I'm doing the math wrong. 65 times 50 is 3250, and then it'd be 35 times 110, and that's 3800.
So spell that out for people.
You have to win like 69% to win if you're giving away half of your winnings.
Like 70%.
It's insane. Yeah, then that's literally impossible.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, even just from an analytical standpoint, I think that we can help people who maybe are caught in that sort of mindset of betting, like, you know, because that was something that I think a lot of people get hooked up on is like, you know, that analytical edge, like, well, this, we're clearly spelling it out to you. Like, if you use one of these people, you are not going to make money, even
if they don't know.
Right.
Exactly. And even if they happen to go on a run, like in the first episode of that show, he's like, this guy's coming to Vegas. He's been 14-3 with me. It's like, but you're free roll. How about all the customers that you lose with? They don't matter because they don't have to pay you.
Yep.
Like, everyone gets right. It's 50-50 props. All right, bye. Oh my God, Steve Stevenson just walked in. Steve, it's good that you're here. I'm actually out of money. I was going to go to the car title place and loan my car. Should I?
Don't take your car title to the car title loan place.
Yeah, especially if you're in New Jersey. Last thing you want to do is lose a couple sports bets and have your girl down there selling puss on the block there to get you an extra nickel.
Well, I don't think Veronica would ever do that, Steve, but yes, I wouldn't want that. So I work, actually, my day job is sales, and I know you're a bit of a salesman. Can you tell me how I can close better, how I can become a better closer?
You want to be a better closer? You want to be a master closer?
Yes, that's what I just asked you.
You got to learn how to do what they call transform.
What are you talking about? You're so full of shit. What percentage of the stuff that comes out of your mouth is bullshit?
110%.
What goes through your head when you're about to do that line of coke you just cut up in that mirror? What do you think?
You look in that mirror and say, nobody's better than you. Nobody can outsell me.
And how is that no one can outsell you? How do you pull that off?
When I go to work, I leave all my problems at the door.
So you leave them at home? Isn't it the opposite of what everybody tells you? Like, you know, don't take your problems out on your wife and kid. I don't understand. That's pretty insane, Steve.
Do you think when I get home from work, I'm like, hey, Dominic, how are you? You do want to take a bath, right?
As you do want to take a bath, right? That's your sales pitch? Is that what you say at work all day? I don't understand your analogy, Steve. Wait, what is this you just handed me? You just wrote, I owe you $500? You owe me $500. What the hell am I going to do with this Post-it?
That you could take to the bank.
Okay, I don't think they take Post-its, but just for you, Steve, because you're such a good salesman, I'll try. So, before you go, what do you think of the show? Do you like the show?
Everybody in the rubber room at the RX has a chuckle when your podcast hit the air.
Thanks, Steve.
So, how much you bet in the game anyway?
Oh, you know, $5 or $10.
$5 or $10.